Hey, this is Pastor Eric. I trust you've had a good week with more businesses reopening this week. Perhaps you've been out and about some. I know I could use a haircut. On the other hand, perhaps you're waiting a little longer before venturing out into the community. Either way, I continue to pray for the health and safety of our congregation and our community. I want to remind you that a week from Sunday, on May 24th, our plan is to transition to a live stream of music and the sermon from the sanctuary at 10:30 a.m. We are not planning for in-person worship until Sunday, June 14th. The live stream will be accessible on our church website. And if you're unable to watch the live stream at 10:30 a.m., a recording of it will be available afterwards. I will not record or post a sermon prior to the Sunday morning live stream. Watch for information and reminders about the live stream next week. And hopefully, I get a haircut before it. Now let's turn to Psalm 127, this weekend's Song of Ascents. I'll read the entire psalm from the English Standard Version. Psalm 127, a Song of Ascents, of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. At first reading, it seems that this psalm deals with two unrelated topics: human endeavors in verses 1 and 2, building, watching, toiling, and children in verses 3 through 5. This has led some scholars to propose that the psalm consists of two poems that were merged together to form one psalm. However, under closer inspection, I think we can see a unifying theme throughout the psalm, indicating the author composed it as one unit intentionally. So how are children connected to the endeavors of verses 1 and 2? Childbearing, along with building, watching, and toiling, are universal, fundamental endeavors of the human race. These endeavors are part of the creation and cultural mandate and blessing of Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." The Lord has blessed mankind with these endeavors, and his intent was to be at the center of all our activity. Adam and Eve's rebellion and independence changed all this. The phrase anxious toil that we see in Psalm 127, verse 2, is a parallel expression of the pain and toil mankind is cursed with in Genesis 3 due to sin and the fall. Here's the unifying theme of the psalm. All human endeavors are the blessing of the Lord. Building, watching, toiling, childbearing. These endeavors, however, when done apart from the Lord, without Him as the central focus, are done in vain. Let's flesh this theme out in the psalm. Psalm 127 is the only song of ascent ascribed to Solomon, David's son and king of Israel, and it is classified as a wisdom psalm. As I mentioned a moment ago, verses 1 and 2 deal with the human endeavors of building, watching, and toiling. In these verses, Solomon says that work done apart from the Lord is work done in vain. The word vain appears 3 times in these 2 verses. By vanity, Solomon means empty and pointless. Solomon's message is that life without the Lord is empty and pointless. And the reason life without the Lord is empty and pointless is because it fails to recognize and acknowledge the sovereign Lord who blesses mankind and does as He pleases. A life without the Lord is living as if God doesn't exist. So here in verse 1, if the Lord doesn't want the house built and withholds His blessing, the builders labor in vain. Now the house here could refer to a common family dwelling in a city like Jerusalem, or since Solomon built the temple, it could be a reference to God's house. In the same way, if the Lord doesn't watch over the city and withholds His blessing, the watchman stays awake in vain. Watching is symbolic of protection. If the Lord does not protect a person or a place, that entity is in grave danger. Protection is also a theme in verses 4 and 5, unifying the psalm. In verse 2, workers get up early and go to bed late to eat the bread of anxious toil, ready to do it all over again the next day. But if the Lord doesn't bless the worker, the bread won't be there to eat. Solomon is not saying in this psalm that human beings cannot do these things, build, watch, toil, apart from the Lord. Human history shows us that mankind has done plenty of things on their own and has been successful from a worldly perspective. Solomon's message is that ultimately, anything done apart from the Lord is done in vain. It is empty and pointless. A complementary principle in this psalm is that any accomplishments a human being achieves are the Lord's doing, and He deserves the recognition. The last line of verse 2 begins the transition to what life looks like when the Lord is at the center of life, His people depending on and trusting in Him. Solomon writes, "For he gives to his beloved sleep." Psalm 124 reminds us that while God's people may sleep, the Lord doesn't. "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep, will neither slumber nor sleep." Instead of anxious toil, which demonstrates a lack of trust, the Lord gives rest to those who trust him, who know he will take care of them. Jesus echoes this idea in Matthew 6. Verse 31, Jesus says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles," that phrase here used as those opposed to God, "they seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Solomon is not saying that people are to be slothful and lazy, doing nothing but waiting on the Lord. But God's people work hard during the day. They demonstrate trust over anxiety, and they sleep well at night. In verse 3, the endeavor of childbearing is addressed. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." A husband and wife may desire children, but it's the Lord's blessing and doing if they conceive. Now, this blessing is for all mankind, whether they acknowledge the gift of children are from the Lord or not. Verse 4 likens children to arrows in the hand of a warrior. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. This is a symbol here of protection. And verse 5 continues the arrow metaphor. "Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them." By using the arrows, warrior, quiver metaphor, Solomon implies that children provide a degree of protection for their parents, similar to the way a watchman provides protection for a city. In ancient Israel's culture, the elderly were honored and cared for, especially the family patriarch. Older children could protect their parents from different forms of attack and abandonment they may experience. The second half of verse 5 describes one attack protection scenario. "He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." The translation here is a little tricky. The English Standard Version contains a footnote with an alternative translation. But the idea is that the elderly patriarch will not be put to shame when his children speak with his enemies in the gate. In ancient cities, the city gate was the center of commercial, legal, and intellectual life. It was the public square. Solomon pictures godly children defending the honor of their father in the court of public opinion. For those with adult children and those raising children towards adulthood, this is the hope and goal godly parents aim for. This is the blessing we hope and pray our children become. As children, we can ask ourselves how we are caring for and protecting our parents. Psalm 127 reminds us every blessing we have comes from the Lord. Any accomplishment we achieve should be acknowledged as the Lord's doing. Every possession, especially our children, provides an opportunity to praise and thank the Lord because He has blessed us, doing as He pleases. James, the earthly half-brother of Jesus, writes in chapter 1, says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." We also see in Psalm 127 that work done apart from the Lord, a life lived without the Lord, is done in vain. It is ultimately empty and pointless. Jesus told his disciples in John 15, he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Perhaps trusting in the Lord more will allow us to sleep better at night. The Lord knows what we need, but we must seek first His kingdom and not be anxious about tomorrow. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, perhaps drawing on language from Psalm 127. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." May Paul's words describe our faith and our life in the Lord Jesus. Steadfast, immovable, always abounding. As we depend on and trust in the sovereign Lord who blesses us, doing as He pleases. Labor for the Lord is not done in vain. Until we meet again, or Jesus returns, the Lord be with you. Amen.